It's the return of Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. The regular season getting closer and closer, and here to talk some Cleveland Browns football with you this morning is John Telich. JT, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Rocco. Hope everybody is well here on a very warm time of the year. Training camp for the Browns, and Obviously, high school football starting up in a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from our buddy Ken Carmen. He heard the high school bands warming up in the morning, and I think that's a pretty sure sign that the season is right around the corner, and we are certainly excited here at WEOL for the high school football. So we'll circle around to maybe some high school football chatter at the tail end of things here, JT, but wanted to start with the announcement of a six-game suspension for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, of course, coming to Cleveland in the big trade earlier this offseason. JT, just your thoughts on how former federal judge Sue Robinson sort of handled it and communicated, the suspension. Not necessarily your thoughts on the amount of games, but maybe just how things were communicated and the impact of what a six-game suspension does to the team early on.
Well, first of all, this was the first time they had this type of a situation per the bargaining agreement that the players and the ownership came through with. So this was the first time, so it kind of was uncharted territory, if you will, as to how the league would handle themselves, how the player that's accused and his legal people would do their due diligence, and then, of course, the retired judge, Sue L. Robinson's, came out and laid down the six-game suspension and said that his behavior, quote, more egregious than any conduct shown before. And I think that's very telling and very kind of a red flag, if you will, Rocco. Mm-hmm. And she also said she was limited by the personal conduct policy and the failure of the legal system in this case, which leads me to believe, had there been players in with previous precedent that had 8 or 10 or 12 game suspensions, she probably would have gone that route. I think he got off easy with six games. Now, of course, the league can appeal, and as we tape this right now, the deadline, 9 o'clock Thursday morning, this morning, has not come yet, so there still is that opportunity for the league to do it. Now, if the league does come out and go forward with an appeal, I think it's a bad look, Rocco, and I'll tell you why. They set up the system. They are saying that they would have a different person, an arbiter outside of the NFL that would weigh their judgment after both sides presented their stories. And then for them to, quote unquote, disregard that, it really would not be a good look for the league. But there is still a very good possibility that there's pressure being borne towards the commissioner and towards the people that run the league from those around the National Football League, thinking six games, Cleveland pulled a fast one. That's not fair. I'm sure there still is some rancor towards the Haslams from people around the league, Rocco, and you know why? Because they gave this guy a $230 million totally guaranteed contract, which has already been, I think, reflected in some of the contracts that we have seen since Deshaun got his deal. Kyler Murray got a huge chunk of his large figure guaranteed, not as much as Deshaun, but things are leaning more in that direction. So I felt bad back when the Browns went for this guy. I felt relieved the day before they actually signed him, when I thought they were off the table and that the team didn't have a chance to get him. I just felt it was a bad look, Rocco, and not going to hop on my soapbox here and preach or anything of that nature. I felt it was a bad look because of the huge amount of individuals who came forward. And then as you read the reports, and you've seen the reporting from Jenny Brentis of the New York Times about the incredible cavalcade, if you will, of young women that were in the crosshairs, if you will, of Deshaun in his pattern of behavior. I just think it was a bad look to go for him. I understand probably the biggest reason that they thought to go for this guy is that they knew that they could not find a quarterback of this caliber, maybe never could, and they certainly haven't demonstrated the ability to do that in the last 20 years or even the last 10 years of the Haslam regime. But to get a guy of this caliber and to give all that money and draft picks with the bad look that it has, it just has weird optics. And I know in Cleveland our fans are excited to have a great quarterback, but I don't know if I'm approved by any stretch of the imagination. It has a bad feel to it for me, that me personally. Not to be a wet blanket, but it kind of does.
Well, and JT, you're far from the only person who has uneasy feelings about this whole thing. And you're right, there are still plenty of fans that are very excited to see Deshaun on the field once the season gets underway. And once the six-game suspension, we'll see, you know, what happens with the potential appeal. But once, you know, he returns to the field, I'm sure a lot of that excitement will return. But certainly a lot of uneasy feelings around things right now. And it was just a wild offseason with how this all went down.
It's crazy.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. So the man who will be playing for at least six games, though, under center, that'll be Jacoby Brissett. What do we make of him, JT?
Well, he has certainly had experience doing this type of thing before. As you all may recall, three seasons ago in Indianapolis, the sudden news that their great quarterback was going to step away from the game. And so he steps away, and that thrust Jacoby Brissett into the starting position, and actually had those guys, the Colts, at a 5-2 record, and in the process had beaten the soon-to-be world champion, Super Bowl champion Chiefs within that streak, if you will. He got hurt, missed a couple of games, then came back, and they were not the same team after that. Went 2-7. I think they missed the playoffs. So if this is a six-game scenario, Rocco, and that nothing beyond that, then I think the Browns, and we can get into those first six games, the Browns would be sitting in a fairly decent spot because of the quality of the caliber of the people that they're playing in the first few games, first six games. But, Brissett's not super mobile. I mean, I don't think he is, and I'm wondering too also, Rocco, about his durability. There could be a possibility that the third-string quarterback, right now it's either Dobbs or Rosen, could see action as well during that time when Deshaun Watson is away from. And even if the NFL does appeal and then there's some kind of a lawsuit that the Players Association brings upon the ownership, you would have a scenario where you might see Watson for the first so many games and then until something is rendered, and then you won't see him. So it's a lot is up in the air, but I think we know this. They've been getting both guys. I was at camp a couple of days ago. They've been getting both guys ready. Certainly Deshaun's getting all those number one reps because he's their top quarterback. And Brissett's a professional, real, strongly settled into his role when he was filling in with the Colts, and Anthony Walker said as much. The Browns linebacker, former Colt himself, said as much, how everybody respects him. So I think he has the respect and the attention of everybody in Berea, and we'll just see how much, if any, he has to play.
John Telich, our guest this morning on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Well, we talked about the two quarterbacks, the guys they'll be throwing the footballs to, the wide receivers. A lot of change in that room this past offseason, even starting, midway through the last regular season. What do we make of that receiver group right now, JT?
Well, right now, banged up. And dealing with, David Bell, their third rounder, who's got those incredible hands, sure, catch the ball and target in traffic, if you will. Kid from Purdue, I think he's going to be counted upon quite a bit, despite the fact that he's not a quote-unquote high draft pick right away. But he came into camp with, he was originally on the PUP list, so he's got an injury he has to deal with. Amari Cooper got dinged on the ankle on Monday, and they said that's going to be a few days, so you got to wait for that to come out. You have Anthony Schwartz, the burner, that maybe would be able to make some kind of a leap, but he, at least they didn't get bad news on him, so they'll continue forward with his scenario. I think, you know, plenty of time for him to be okay. They lost a real good one in a rookie receiver that went down with an ACL. So there's been rumors, you know, Will Fuller rumors, but I don't think there's really much to that. But they are kind of light. So that means a lot of the onus, I think, you know, Cooper in the long run is going to be fine. But a lot of the onus is going to be how much will we see Donovan Peoples-Jones? Will he settle in to be – we'll probably see Cooper, DPJ, and David Bell when the season goes on. And then I think this offensive package that they're getting ready will not be as tight end heavy that it was before. I think that pretty much everybody knows that to be the case. And I think we'll see more instances where both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are on the field at the same time, and that could be where more of your, you know, passing option out of the backfield may come into play, with Kareem being more involved, since he is such a very good pass catcher coming out of the backfield, or splitting out, you know, in the slot or what have you. I think there's going to be some wrinkles that you had not seen in past Stefanski offenses, and but they'll rely heavily on David Njoku and also Harrison Bryant. And but the wide receiver core, they're banged up right now. Very early in camp, but they're banged up.
Who are some of the position groups at the top right now as far as Browns personnel goes? You mentioned the running backs. I'm sure they're the number one group on this team for a lot of people. Who else would be in that top three for you?
Yeah, I definitely have them at number one. I mean, Nick Chubb is just primed to have a phenomenal year. I mean, he was squatting half of a village, you know, it seemed like, in the gym, these videos that he was posting, and he's just incredibly strong and powerful. So between he and Kareem, and then, of course, you have the rookie that they got out of Cincinnati, going to be fun to see his progress. Of course, we all forget about D'Ernest, you know, who all he did last year was sub in a couple of games and run for 100 yards. So I think that's the top group. Number two, I'd say, is the offensive line, and that is with the question mark, how will young Nick Harris be as the replacement for J.C. Tretter? So that's something to look at. But, you know, the two guards are as good as you have in the game, as good a combination as you have in the National Football League. Conklin seems to be, you know, after he had his patellar tendon surgery, seems to be recovering well. So I think they're just going to kind of baby him until the regular season. And then your young tackle, who I think can make very big strides this year, because we don't see any issues with him injury-wise right now, whereas, you know, he dinged himself early last season and just never seemed to be 100%. So that's going to be a very strong group. And, of course, they'll be called on different wrinkles in the offense and how they roll Deshaun out or Jacoby out, because those guys have different talent pools, if you will, than Baker Mayfield did. And then the defensive backs, really excited about the DBs. I really think that for 2 years in a row, they've gone out and got a very solid young cornerback. Last year, of course, it was Greg Newsome, who by all accounts was one of the top young players in the game. And so I've been very impressed with him, his leadership, just how he carries himself. And then this Emerson kid, he is and I think you're hearing his name a lot in camp. When I talk to some of the veteran beat writers who watch every play, you're hearing his name quite a bit. So I think you're going to see how well he plays. John Johnson the third says he feels exceptionally comfortable with how everybody is kind of coalescing, syncing with one another back in the back end of the defense. And I think the defense, and from what's been going on so far in camp, the defense certainly is carrying the day, or each day, as it were. And even with a talented quarterback like Deshaun Watson out there for reps, the defense is going to be very good. So I would say running backs, offensive line, defensive backs, those are going to be three real good groups. And then watch and see how the linebackers develop. Mm. There's a lot of young, very speedy, very skilled linebackers that, you know, will be called upon to be on the ball, off the ball, all those different types of deployments, if you will. And you'll see the ascension, I think, of people looking at JOK as one of the top young players in the game. He's just really, he's just a ball of fire to watch out there. Really good.
Well, and that was a group with a lot of concerns last year. I think he kind of bailed them out in that regard in terms of just seeing something positive from that group. So that's interesting. You mentioned the linebackers. I'm curious what they bring to the table this season and how they continue to look throughout camp. So, JT, one more before we get you out of here, because I know you said you got to run. You talked about, you know, before we started talking here, the Berea looking a little different this year for Browns fans attending camp. What's the deal there?
Well, they did purchase some homes that were right there budding the facility, so they expanded the footprint of it, the Cross Country Mortgage Campus, as they call themselves. That's their corporate partner. And so what they built were a couple of air-conditioned suites, if you will, that stand with room on top for people to be up above them and watch the field, you know, from a higher perspective. They put in stands on that side of the field. That also they still have the footprint of fans on the other side of the field, which is where the residential, the condos and all those happen to be on, I would assume, the east side of the building, if you will. And so that's part of their plan. I think they want to bring more of their organization, people that might have offices off campus, bring everybody down there. I think there is kind of a Jerry Jones situation in Dallas, the star that he has, with where he's got this incredible complex of areas to practice and train and have all the employees kind of in one spot. I think that's their ultimate plan. But there's a bigger footprint than before. Parking is pretty much, you know, the same as it were. There may be instances where you're just parking a bit away. But the fans have been great. The attendance has been real good. And it's just got a different look to it right now, which is part and parcel to the Haslam's trying to just kind of have their own campus, their own way with their corporate partners.
A lot going on with this team right now, on the field, off the field, from a corporate standpoint, non-corporate standpoint, doesn't matter. It's just stuff happening everywhere. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, yes it is. Yes it is. Well, JT, I appreciate the time this week as always. I know we didn't get a chance to get to some high school football. I know that regular season is ready to kick off here in just about a week or two now. So we'll get to that next week for sure. But thank you again for the time, JT. Awesome to have you back here on From the Sidelines. That's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, thanks again. We'll catch up some more next week.
Rocco, you have a great week, and I will talk to you and your gang next Thursday.